And he was like, "Can you move out to California in 2 weeks?" And I was like, "I'll see what I can do." And so it was a crazy whirlwind that happened by me just kind of taking a chance, putting myself out there. Didn't really think anything would happen, nor did I think, that I would ever, want to move away from Northwest Arkansas.
My name is Matt Bros with Lockton, and I have been so fortunate in my life to be surrounded by some really awesome people. So I want to be able to get their stories out there so that we can all learn from them together. Welcome to the Excellence Culture.
Well, welcome to the Excellence Culture. Matt Bros again, and I am really excited. This is probably the best setting I've ever had.
Might be the most professional, right? With the professional lighting and everything.
Market Scale does a really good job, but this is, you can tell that this is what y'all do.
Yeah.
Right. So I've got Chad Coleman here with Dude Perfect, which is super cool. And I know my kids are going to be super jealous that I'm sitting here right now on the overtime set. So thank you so much,
of course,
for having me.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah.
Glad we could do it.
Yeah. Well, if you could you just kind of introduce your role here at Dude Perfect, and then we're going to kind of get into a little bit more.
Yeah. I'm a chief brand officer here at Dude Perfect, which, I think we are a really small team when you think about the amount of content that we produce, everything we put out. Yeah. I mean, I think it's 23 people total right now, including the five dudes. And that includes everyone from our editing staff to operations, our art team who builds the sets and props that we use. And then I handle all of our, and that's social media, graphic design as well. And then I handle everything from basically everything from a business perspective. So ranging from our day-to-day brand partnerships and, sponsored integrations we do within our content, managing those relationships, and then kind of thinking kind of bigger, kind of longer term special projects for Dude Perfect outside of specifically the YouTube space. So things like our experiential Dude Perfect World ideas, partnerships with our NFL, partnerships with the NFL for our Thursday Night Football alternate streams we do on Prime Video during the NFL season. So managing those kind of relationships and projects outside of just the strictly brand partnerships thing. So really anything from a business perspective, flows through me.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I do. There's probably some people that watch this that have no idea what Dude Perfect is. So they're YouTube sensations. They probably had a big part of making YouTube what it is today in terms of serious entertainment for adults, kids, everybody. And I've gotten to know, you refer to them as dudes, but a few of the dudes, which is really cool. They're now growing up. So how long can we call them dudes? Who knows? But yeah, it's super cool. My kids are obviously very regular viewers of your content. I'm viewers with them. And so it's really cool. And do you ever just kind of sit here and reflect on the positive impact that's being made to kids across the country?
And all the time. I mean, it's not hard to lose sight, but sometimes being in this world, everything's so fast paced. You kind of forget, like with every video we put out, with every, tour that we do, the amount of families that we're reaching and impacting. We hope with a fun and positive message and family entertainment in the end of it. It's such a massive audience, and that comes with a lot of responsibility too.
It's 60 million subscribers.
Yeah, 60 million on YouTube. Combined on all of our social channels, it's like over 100 million followers. And so it's a massive responsibility, and we don't take that lightly. I think it's something that we really try to make sure every piece of content we put out, everything we do for an event, whether it's a tour or a cruise or whatever, is really a great experience and lives up to the quality and the standards that people expect of Dude Perfect. Now, 15 years later, keep upping the bar, which is not easy to do, but we definitely do our best.
Yeah. You do a great job, man. You do a great job. I'm just kind of looking out here. If you could see this view, we're seeing just so many kind of memories that have been made out here on the video.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty surreal. So
we're about to shut this place down too. This specific warehouse. Yeah, we're in a couple months here. We're going to be moving to a new warehouse space down the road, just a couple miles down the road, but 10,000 square feet bigger. Able to kind of build out the infrastructure to grow the team. Right now, we're just kind of the warehouse space is huge, but from a, offices and operations standpoint, kind of maxed out in what we have currently. So this new space gave us the opportunity to really, think about what we want to accomplish, what we call Dude Perfect 2.0, the next 5, 10, 15 years. And how do we build an office space that is, structured to where we can, add people to our staff. We have the right facilities, the right studio equipment, the right studio spaces to do potentially a podcast or potentially, card breaking with Fanatics or all these other things that we're looking to do to expand kind of the different verticals of the brand. And how do we set ourselves up to future proof that?
Yeah.
And so, we've been in here for, I think, 6 years or so, and the place has been great, but it's going to be really exciting to kind of have a refresh.
Sure, it's had some wear and tear.
Digitally, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well,
and focus on the future. So yeah, we're excited.
Well, I don't want all this just to be about BP, because getting to know you, we had breakfast not too long ago, and also I've just kind of witnessed some of the things that you've done on LinkedIn, and I'm just really impressed. And so I'd like to hear just about, let's start with little Chad. That's what I always say on this. Like, what was your upbringing like? Where did you grow up?
Yeah, of course. Little Chad. I like that. Yeah. I grew up in Springdale, Arkansas. So just a town next to Fayetteville in Northwest Arkansas, where University of Arkansas is, and grew up there, went to high school. Gus Malzahn was my high school football coach, and he's now, was at Auburn, and I think now he's at UCF, which is kind of a crazy fun fact at Springdale. But grew up there, went to the University of Arkansas, go Hawks. And I like to, it's not often being in a company full of Aggies that I get to brag. Every so often, though, we'll beat them in basketball or football once in a blue moon.
I mean, they used to be a powerhouse.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Back when I was there, those were the good years. And then it kind of went downhill, but we have a good golf team usually, so that's nice.
Yeah.
And baseball. So, but went to college there. I had really kind of gotten into, I graduated in 2011. It was kind of around the time that a lot of these kind of big companies and brands were bringing us a social media position in-house versus, having their external agency do it. That kind of trend was happening. And something I was super interested in was the social media space. And actually, when I was in college, my senior year, I had just taken full-time classes, had two jobs. One of them was managing a local frozen yogurt shop. So like one of those self-serve frozen yogurt chains on campus. And the owner was like, "Hey, you want to manage this place for me?" He lived in Tulsa. And I was like, sure.
Froyo.
Yeah, Froyo. Yeah. Yeah. And so it's like, yeah, it'd be fun. So I didn't really have a life my senior year between classes and two jobs. But as part of that, I got to got to run our social media handles and pages. And that was kind of back when Facebook pages were like a big deal for brands and stuff. And so I thought it was really cool, coming up with campaigns and things to help, bring students back in and run, college nights and whatever it was. And utilizing our social pages for our little Froyo shop was something that I thought was really cool.
Yeah.
And I was super interested in. And so when I graduated, I got a job at a digital agency in Bentonville and was doing social media stuff for big brands who were clients. So PF Chang's, Walmart, Sam's Club, and basically writing social content, things like that. And just realized, I would love the opportunity to actually take more ownership in a social strategy for a brand that I care about than sit here and write, social posts for another brand that's got to go through 10 layers of approvals and come back and edit. And it's just like, by the time it gets stripped down and goes through, all the legal and everything passed up the ladder, it's like, boring stuff. And it's like, it didn't really challenge me creatively the way I wanted to. And so I, been a lifelong golfer, just like you. We've talked about our love for the game of golf, and grew up playing golf, and knew that, hey, I would love to do something in the social media space in the golf industry. I didn't know what that was yet, but I knew that I could make an impact in some way by doing that. And if I could merge those two things, my passion for golf, my love for golf, and this kind of emerging social media space that was really blown up in 2010, 2011, that would be a dream come true for me. And so, I had followed a couple people in the golf industry on Twitter, just kind of as a golf fan, you know, and engaged with them for, you know, a couple of years, and just kind of built that rapport on really is on Twitter. And one day I sent one of them a direct message with my resume, and I was like, hey, like, my name's Chad, this kid from Arkansas. I, you know, you don't know me, but, you know, we've interacted on Twitter a little bit, and, you know, here's my experience in social, and I would love an opportunity in the golf world. If you ever hear of anything that you think might be a good fit, just wanted to give you my resume, no pressure, but, you know, if you hear of anything, would love for you to let me know. And the lady I reached out to, her name's Ashley Mayo. She called me basically immediately. I was like, hey, I actually was talking to a buddy of mine at Callaway yesterday. They're looking to hire their first social media position in-house, and having trouble finding the right person. And he asked if I had anyone to recommend. And I said, no, but I'll recommend you if you want. She was like, yeah, that'd be great. So she connected us, and we had a phone interview, and I flew out a couple weeks later for an in-person interview and got the job. And he was like, can you move out to California in 2 weeks? And I was like, I'll see what I can do. And so it was a crazy whirlwind that happened by me just kind of taking a chance, putting myself out there. Didn't really think anything would happen, nor did I think, you know, that I would ever, you know, want to move away from Northwest Arkansas. But it happened fast, and you know, I put myself out there, and I knew that this is what I wanted to do. And so we made it happen. And so I moved out to Carlsbad, California in 2012, and took the job there, and was at Callaway for almost 8 years. And in December of 2019, joined the Dude Perfect guys here, and moved out here, and been here for over 4 years.
Ash, you give you the whole story.
Right? Yeah. You asked for baby Chad on.
Yeah. No, I love it. That story is awesome, first of all. And there's a lot of things to highlight there. The first thing is just, let's talk about sports a little bit, because it seems like sports are just through and through for you. And actually, you walk in, I know Dude Perfect has become this entertainment brand, and really origin. See,
yeah.
When I talk to Garrett, I mean, it's all he wants to talk about is sports.
Yeah.
So,
whether it's real sports or made up sports, yeah, it's pretty much what everything revolves around here.
Yeah. And which is super cool, right?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear kind of like, because I want to get through it, but I want to hear about your background in sports as a kid, and then what were the sports that?
Yeah, I played pretty much everything growing up, mostly baseball and football. And then I remember my senior year in high school, yeah, I'd kind of just started getting into golf regularly in like junior high. So, and that was back when like golf wasn't cool, right? Like it didn't used to be as cool as it is today to play golf. I feel like the culture is changing a lot around the sport.
I always thought I was cool.
Yeah, I thought I was cool, but like it wasn't generally seen as like, oh, you play golf, you're like a weird golf guy. Especially at like for, you know, younger kids.
Yeah.
I feel like now it's really grown in popularity and social acceptance, I guess, a little bit. But in my high school, golf and football were both in the fall. So I had to pick one or the other. And I like football, but I like golf a lot more. And so chose golf. And, you know, from there, obviously just, you know, hooked for life. And, you know, golf has taken me to a lot of amazing places, amazing experiences. Yeah. I met some incredible people through the game, and both throughout my time at Callaway and here at Dude Perfect.
Yeah.
And so golf has had a very instrumental impact on my life.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay, so what did you major in college?
Communications is like advertising and PR.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. So which lend itself to social media?
Yeah, I think like that's probably the closest thing, especially back then. I'm sure now there's more classes that are kind of dedicated to social, but writing and, you know, journalism, that those are all pretty crucial skills for social. But so, yeah, I think that's probably not that I knew I wanted to do social media when I signed up for that major, but looking back on it, I do think that was probably like the closest thing that's helped set me up for success in social.
Yeah. And so the Callaway thing seemed a little bit like a coincidence that it combined two loves. Kind of.
Yeah.
You've obviously grew a huge affinity for social media, but then it was a sport.
Yeah. I mean, that was kind of my goal was how do I combine, you know, this thing that I'm very interested in and wanting to own social for a brand and have, you know, be able to create a tone and a voice and a personality that, you know, was differentiated and just something that I loved. And so I thought, gosh, if I could do that for a golf company, that would be my dream. And so everything happened so quick. And I think I really learned that, you know, from that process, I really learned how important it is to just put yourself out there. And I never thought that by sending that direct message on Instagram would lead to what it did and what that's done for me from that point forward. But had I not put myself out there and gone on that limb, who knows where I'd be today or what would happen. I think that's one moment too that really helped reshape how I think about the business world and my career trajectory is, you know, the kind of why not me mentality, right? Like, I always talk, the guy that hired me at Callaway's name's Tim Buckman. I keep up with him to this day. And I'm like, why would you have hired some random kid from Arkansas, like, to move out to California and run Callaway's social media presence? And he always says, you know, you put yourself out there because kind of backing up, when I first got that interview with them, I knew that they had trouble finding the right fit for the role. So my mentality was, well, let me give him all my ideas. I mean, I'm emailing them all the time, like in between our first phone interview and the in-person interview. Hey, here's what I would do on day one if I got the job. I would do X, Y, and Z. Here's how I think you guys can improve on these channels. Here's the strategy I think that Callaway should have. I mean, I threw everything out there.
Yeah.
And my thinking was that they were looking for someone to do that because they didn't know necessarily internally what they needed.
It was uncharted waters.
Yeah. And so that was kind of my thinking on that is like, I think they want to be told, you know, what they should do. And so he says, you know, every time I talked to him, it was like, that was the really one of the deciding factors was that you came in and you said, this is what it needs to be. Here's my thoughts. Here's how I would do it on day one. And we were like, sold.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So does a company like Callaway say, here's our passwords?
Yeah.
I mean, what happens where you decide to start leading strategy for social media for such a large company?
Yeah. And again, that was back when, you know, brands didn't have massive social followings at that point.
Yeah.
Mostly it was like, oh, there's Facebook. Like, let's have our PR agency that we have on retainer handle our social pages or whatever. Mm-hmm. It was somewhat of an afterthought at that point. And so nobody in the company really saw it as like, this is a super important business, like, vertical for us. It was more like, yeah, like, see what happens, you know? And I think that shift was happening between, you know, outsourcing social to an external agency who didn't live and breathe their culture. They didn't know truly, you know, the stories within the company, what really needed to be told, how you tell those stories creatively in a way that's going to break through. And you know, selling golf clubs, like, we're a golf club manufacturer. How do we make that interesting? And so, yeah, it kind of was, you know, I think it was less of a risk because it was like, yeah, kid, like, go ahead, like, do your thing and see what happens. But it was pretty cool that I had from day one, pretty much complete ownership and the ability to go try things and do what I wanted. I didn't have 10 layers of approval that I needed to go through to before I could post something. They really trusted me with that from the beginning, which I think is really what helped us, you know, succeed in that world.
Okay. And so would you say that your time at Callaway and that what you built from a social media standpoint was successful?
I think so. Yeah. It was a massive team effort. When you think of like social is one component of social, digital, how does that tie into our sales team and retail products at our retail stores from, you know, it's an all-encompassing, social is like one aspect of our marketing strategy. Yeah. And at the time that I came in at Callaway, my former boss and mentor, his name's Harry Arnett. He was our CMO and he is amazing guy, had a lot of belief in me and kind of let me try new things and no idea was a bad idea. We really wanted to figure out how to differentiate Callaway from the other golf equipment companies out there because it was a lot of the same at that. It's like, hey, everybody's just posting about their golf clubs and why you should buy them. There's no rhyme or reason or any creativity really put into it at that point. And so we were able to really think outside the box, think big picture and try things that, you know, having that understanding and buy-in from the top of like, hey, what can we do that's cool that Callaway can be a connector to cool stories in golf, as opposed to a brand that wants to sell you clubs.
Yeah.
We make good clubs. We're confident that our clubs are going to outperform anything else most of the time if people go and get fit. And so how do we become part of that consideration set for a wider group of people where when they do go in to a Dick's Sporting Goods or PGA Tour Superstore to get fit for clubs, they're at least going to try the Callaway driver because they, you know, we've created a relationship online and through these social platforms. And so trying new things that were not even remotely close to selling clubs or talking about our products, we did things like a partnership with Vice Sports where we created a series of videos that highlighted anyone from Scarface, who is a rapper who, like Delph, changed his life, and he will say it saved him. Gene Simmons, highlighting some really cool golf courses in the country that are, you know, like your kind of local par threes and things where, you know, we're identifying these really cool stories within the game of golf and presenting those stories in a variety of different ways. And a lot of times the product is totally secondary from that. We had a variety show called Callaway Live where we brought in athletes, celebrities, people from the business world who all had a connection to the game of golf in some way. And that was just kind of more like a talk show vibe. Yeah. So we had really experimented with things that were outside the box and having that buy-in from the top leadership of like, hey, you can do this. Like, yeah, don't worry about every single post trying to sell clubs. We want to create engaging content and build relationships with golfers,
yeah,
first and foremost. And then we can, you know, talk about clubs and you know, if they go into a store and want to buy a new driver, hopefully they at least try ours because of the relationship we built. And we're confident that if they do, we're more often than not, our clubs are going to beat out anything else.
Yeah. Well, it seems like this relationship that you're having at Callaway turned in an opportunity to caddy.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your one and only caddy experience, and I won't let the cat out of the bag, but where was it successful?
It was, yes. I have my claim to fame is that I have a 100% professional caddy win record.
Yeah.
And we were just talking before this, you have a similar story, which is crazy. But yeah, we, in like 2016, one of our tour staffers, his name was Wesley Bryan, played golf on the PGA Tour, or that time it was the web.com tour, and ended up becoming a PGA Tour winner as well. But, you know, part of my job at Callaway was, you know, showing the personalities of the people we sponsored on tour.
And he did trick shots.
Yeah. And he did trick shots. So like, you know, when him and his brother first started doing the trick shot stuff, we signed them to an endorsement deal that was more like of a marketing endorsement deal. It was different from the only endorsement deals we did at that time were like PGA Tour players. So like pay Phil Mickelson this money to play our clubs and wear our hat. Mm-hmm. What I did as part of my job there was introduce these kind of new creator partnerships, including the Bryan Bros Golf when they were first starting to do that before either of them had any status on any tour. And then later signed Steph Curry to his kind of marketing endorsement deal with Callaway before I left for Dude Perfect. But so Wesley signed them. He ended up playing really well, got to the web.com tour, had won an event earlier in that year, was on track to be promoted to the PGA Tour. And he's just a great guy, good friend of mine. And you know, he's willing to try new things. And he was like, hey, we should have you caddy for me at some point, and you can like document it on social media and share the experience. It'd be cool. Like, come out and caddy for me on the web.com tour and be a cool marketing and content play. I was like, yeah, man. Like, yeah, like I'll see if, you know, Harry will let me do that. I would love to. And I got a call one day. He's like, hey, my caddy next week in Mexico bailed on me. I just called your boss and he said, it's okay. You're coming to caddy for me next week in Mexico. And so I was like, cool. All right, let's do it. So booked flights, went out there just expecting to have, you know, I knew he had been playing great that year. He'd already won an event. And so, you know, I thought it'd be cool if we would just make the cut. Like, I'd never caddied before in a professional capacity. So I was just there to be like the vibe guy. Like, yeah, okay, man, like, what can I do to make you feel comfortable? Like, you know, if you need my opinion on something, I'll give it. But, you know, you're the professional here. It was more just, how do we go out there and have a good time? And, you know, shot like 4 under the first day and we're kind of right there, you know, in the top 10 or so. And then went out the next day and he shot 63. And we had the lead by a couple shots and really had really from there on, it was never in too much jeopardy. I think we had the lead for most of the remainder of the tournament and won the tournament by a couple shots. And it feels like a dream. You know, we had talked about this from a Callaway perspective, making it a big deal, telling people what was happening, like follow along. We had a lot of people, you know, paying attention to it and rooting for it and following along on all of our social channels. And never in a million years did I think we would actually win. And so that was just...
But he had just won.
So yeah.
Playing good.
Playing good. So sure, it's a possibility.
Yeah.
But like...
My chance is different.
The 1 week that I went out there, like he wins, like that's crazy.
It's crazy. And so did you have like normal caddy access, or did you have Callaway hooked you up where you're still able to eat with players?
Yeah, good question. Great question. It was a little bit of both. So we worked with the web.com tour to say, this is happening. What kind of rights can we have to like film stuff on property? And there's a whole bunch of dynamics involved with that. But yeah, for the most part, I mean, I was just like a normal caddy, going through the caddy motions that week.
Yeah. Normally caddies aren't really treated that well.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was fine. I had a good time.
Well, my experience, I had something similar. David Gossett, he was my roommate in college, and he had gotten an exemption to play in the John Deere Classic. He was playing on the web.com tour at the time. They had an exemption. Really wasn't playing that great, I don't think, leading into that, but I could tell in the practice round, wow, I've never seen somebody get the ball as good as that. And then he ended up winning that week. So I was one for one, and then we did a second turn. We did it.
So ever since 2016, I've been telling people I have to be the only person in the world with a 100% win record as a professional caddy. Have to be.
Yeah.
So you told me that you won. I was like, did you stop after that? And you're like, no, I did a couple more.
Yeah.
Didn't win those, so your percentage is still very high. You may be number two, but that's crazy.
Yeah,
we both had a similar experience.
Yeah, it is crazy.
That's wild.
Just that moment of winning a tournament like that, and the journey that happens for a whole golf tournament to get to the end. And did you get the flag on the 18th?
Yes. Oh yeah. Of course. Yeah.
That's a tradition for the caddy that got the 18th green
flag. Oh yeah, I didn't forget that.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I actually want to hone in on social media. Okay, so most of what the excellence culture and the influence that the excellence culture has is through LinkedIn. And for me and what I do for my career, LinkedIn has been a great tool for me to, you know, kind of gain influence and really kind of get the word out of who I am. So, I mean, I'd like to hear from you, because we've had this conversation over breakfast. Just your thoughts on LinkedIn, particularly. Obviously, it's a lot different than other social media platforms.
Yeah, it's different. I think it's like the sleeper of social media channels, because there's, you know, you get some pretty great engagement if you do it the right way. And so, I think that's kind of been the trend at least last couple years is, LinkedIn used to be kind of just like a stale, stagnant place that you went to like, you know, try to get a job or post a job. Now it has turned a lot more into, you know, that's obviously still a huge component of it, but career advice from people that in industries that you are interested in or people that, you know, you have a lot of respect for, and sharing a totally different perspective on their company or their whatever they're involved in through, you know, kind of this business lens.
Yeah.
You know, from, you know, Zach King is on there, and he personally shares, you know, a lot of behind the scenes content and shares his thought process of how he comes up with these like magician kind of special effects videos that he puts out. You know, most people know him. He's got like 100 million followers on TikTok and makes these like magic videos. And it's cool to see him share. Here's his leadership thoughts. Here's his thoughts on, you know, burnout. Here's his thoughts on the creative process and how him and his team do that. And that's content you won't ever see anywhere else, because it doesn't make sense for any of his channels, but it makes sense for LinkedIn. And that's the thing that I find so valuable is people like him and others in a variety of different industries sharing such a unique perspective on kind of pulling back the curtain on their company and providing some real value of like what makes that company work and what's successful and what's not, and kind of get into their head and their mind a little bit, which I think is one of the coolest parts about LinkedIn.
Yeah.
You know? I love it.
I feel like I see it evolving a little bit too, because there is this aspect of LinkedIn that's going personal, right? And I think it's it's not just people wanting to show pictures of their dogs and stuff. But for me, because I try to really balance, like I maybe want it to be a little bit more heavy business or conversations like we're having, but I still want people to get to know me, right? And because we live in this world, like I think you guys at DP, you do a great job at relationships are very important. I feel like there's, when you walk in here, it's not necessarily the Dallas pace of life here, but at the same time, there's such little opportunity to truly get to know people these days. And in a business setting, especially, and for me, I do something like employee benefits. And so trusting me with the solutions that we bring to the table for your people at your organization involves a significant amount of trust.
Yeah.
How are you going to trust me if you don't know me?
Yeah.
And so I see that there's that part in LinkedIn too, that personal aspect, let's just call it more authenticity, so that people can truly get to know each other.
Yep.
But still wanting to safeguard the fact that this is a business platform, right?
Yep.
And we don't want it to become Facebook or
Instagram or TikTok.
So what are your thoughts about that balance?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm hiring right now for a social media position, and you know, posted the job through LinkedIn. They have a really, really great service that you can use there to kind of manage all of the applicants and stuff. But if I find a candidate I think would be a good fit, I'm going to their personal Instagram page. I'm going to their LinkedIn page. And I'm seeing, for a social media position especially, their personal Instagram page is kind of a representation of who they are and the kind of content that they can create and what their skill set is. And I think that is even more valuable on LinkedIn. If you're an authoritative voice on a certain subject or an industry, and you post content that's meaningful and relevant to people on LinkedIn and gain any sort of a following, that's such a valuable thing to have when prospective clients or recruiters or whoever it is reaching out, you know, and want to know more about you, like establishing that kind of presence on LinkedIn. And, you know, obviously, you know, these days, really all your other social platforms too, because you never know, you know, what opportunities could arise for that.
Yeah. So there's certainly an image that's following you. Like, you know, last night I put a picture out there that one of the Young Life leaders for my girls, she just got a job at LinkedIn, and we were celebrating that. And that was super cool. And we posted a picture of that. But I think that captures an essence to my family that me just sharing business content.
Yes, you're right. Yeah, I think it's a balance of that, you know.
Yeah.
There's probably no singular right answer, but whatever you think that balance of, like, you know, how does this experience in my personal life relate in some capacity to what I do for work or in the business world, and how can I connect those two? Because if you can do that, you share more insight about who you are, what's important to you, and in a way that's relevant to the LinkedIn audience. And then that's mixed in with some stuff that's more just, you know, professional focused. And I think it's good to have that kind of dynamic without getting like too, you know, straying towards like the LinkedIn, like here's every part of my day kind of thing.
Yeah. Or I've worked out, I've shared my workout podcast.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
TikTok dances. You don't do TikTok dances on LinkedIn. No.
Okay. Never done a TikTok dance in my life. I've seen my kids do it. Well, let's get into DP, man.
Yeah.
And so you're at Callaway. Where did DP come into the picture? The opportunity, you know?
Yeah. So in 2016, when I was at Callaway, we did a partnership with Dude Perfect. So that was kind of my responsibility, was teaming up with our, you know, creators, influencers, and whatnot. And we did a partnership with Dude Perfect, remote summer new golf clubs that were coming out. And so we did a golf trick shots video. At that time, Callaway sponsored this guy named Jamie Sedlowski, who was a two-time world long drive champion and just a freak athlete. And we thought it'd be cool if we could get him and the Dude Perfect guys together and just make some cool content with our new clubs and see what happens. And so we did that, and it was awesome, great experience. Got to meet the guys, hang out with them. We ended up doing another video the next year together and had just kind of kept in touch with them, you know, over the next couple years. And I, in particular, Cody, the tall guy, kept in touch with him just over Instagram and stuff, and reached out a couple times saying, hey, you know, I'm looking to hire someone like you that can come in and help us think about you know, actually have a strategy for our social channels. Cause at that time,
crazy to think that Dude Perfect wanted more strategy.
Yeah. I mean, it was, they were so focused on YouTube at the time that from a social perspective, like it was kind of, the social channels were just kind of an afterthought because YouTube was like the main thing and it still is, but there was no thought or rhyme or reason put into it. And it was Cody who was doing all the social stuff, which he was great at, but it was just kind of like an afterthought, like I'll post something on my lunch hour or whatever. And so I came on board towards the end of 2019. I felt like I was ready to make a change. Cody had reached out again, being like, "Hey man, would still love to talk about you joining our team." And up until that point, I was like, you know, I had my dream job at Callaway. Why would I?
Seems like you've gone dream job to dream.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, why would I ever want to leave? But things change, and going back to what I said in the beginning of taking chances, and you know, as a 22-year-old kid who had just proposed to his wife and then got the job at Callaway, and was like, "Hey, babe, you want to move to California?" Like, we knew nobody; it was just us.
Was she totally supportive?
She was completely supportive from day one. Like, she's awesome; she's a rock star, and she's always been that way. Yeah. She's the first to say, "If you think that's a good opportunity, let's do it. I'm it." Yeah. Like, I'll figure out how to make it work on my end. Like, let's do it. And so we moved out to California, not knowing a soul, and just, you know, we were kids and like, why not? And that totally changed my perspective on, you know, stepping out of my comfort zone and, you know, not just kind of continuing to work at that agency I worked at and like climb the ladder there and like, you know, be not as happy or whatever it may be, and like staying confined in that little box that I had thought this was supposed to be what you did in life was, you know, all my friends were going to stay in Arkansas and like, that's what you did. And the Callaway opportunity, the way it happened and how quickly it happened, was the best thing that ever happened because it opened my eyes to other opportunities that were out there and the ability to be uncomfortable with big decisions. And, you know, granted, when I took the Callaway job, it was just me and Ashley. We didn't have kids. We didn't have responsibilities. Like, it was a little bit easier at that point. But, you know, that kind of ties into really the stars aligning for Dude Perfect at the time when I felt like I was ready to make another move. I felt like what Dude Perfect had done up to that point was incredible. You know, building this YouTube empire that was, you know, something that no one had ever seen before. And while they had the YouTube empire, it was still, you know, I think there was a lot of, they needed a lot of help, right? At that point, it was
still like a bundle, a lot of things.
Yeah. I mean, at that point, it was the five dudes and like maybe three or four editors and like one other person. Like, it was a very small
team. 2019 is
smaller. It was still that small.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a good challenge. It would be a good challenge for me. I felt like, you know, the timing was just right. We'd had our first daughter. My wife is from Allen here close by. So her family's here. My family's now just a drive away in Arkansas. And so that was a kind of dynamic at play too. But I mainly just felt like this is the right thing for me to do and take a leap and let's see what happens, right? Like, I spent 8 years at Callaway, loved it. What I was able to kind of do there, I felt like I was ready for a bigger step and more responsibility. And I felt like, you know, this was a, you know, the Dude Perfect opportunity was a great way to kind of go out on a limb a little bit and try something new. And, you know, obviously knew they were doing something right because of the audience that they had built and the fan base they had built. And so took the job towards the end of 2019. So been here for just over 4 years now.
Texas is a good place to live.
It is. Yeah. I like it.
Frisco. I'd like to kind of hear in the time that you've been here, if there's one or two just memories that come to the top of your mind, what are they?
Yeah. Gosh, the first two that come to mind both have to do with the Masters. I don't know if that's because I'm golf biased a little bit, but the number one thing I thought of was last year we were at the Masters. We did a partnership with Augusta National they had an event and they're releasing the new PGA Tour game that had Augusta National in it. And so we did like a live stream event there, celebrity kind of tournament, and Garrett played in it. With that, we got like, you know, clubhouse access for the week at the Masters. And so that was really cool. And we were Thursday of the Masters last year. We were like, let's go grab a drink. We were walking around forever. Like, let's go take a rest real quick. So went into the clubhouse and walked into kind of the grill room there, and it was packed full. And we're like, oh, let's, is there anywhere else to like just sit down for a second in the AC? And one of the guys like, yeah, the, our cigar lounge is right here. You can go, there's not anybody in there if you want to go in there. And we, okay, let's, you know, there's some couches and the TV is on. Let's take a rest for a second. And walked in, and there was a person in there. There was only one person in there, and it was Roger Goodell. And he was sitting there, you know, taking a load off for a minute. And we walked in, like, oh, should we sit down or not? And he was like, he immediately saw us, like, yeah, come sit down, guys. Like, invite us right in. And we sat there for.
You recognize?
Yeah, he did, because at that point, we had just done our first alternate stream for Thursday Night Football on Prime Video the fall before that. And so he was aware of who we are through that. We never interacted with him personally. And he invited us to come sit down. And for the next like hour and a half or 2 hours, just sat there and talked with Roger Goodell and his wife and shared stories and watched golf. And it was crazy, crazy experience being, you know, in the same room. Just like, it was just us the whole time, just casually talking and, you know, chatting it up. And I remember just kind of like looking around a couple times. You're like, is this real? Like, you know, this is kind of crazy. Like, he's a busy man, and obviously, you know, getting to spend time with him and pick his brain and ask questions, and that just doesn't happen. He couldn't have been nicer. And it was an incredible experience that I'll remember forever. And then a couple of years, I guess about a year before that, we did our all sports golf battle at Augusta National.
Yeah.
Which, you know, for people who are not familiar, all sports golf, we do like play three golf holes using anything but golf clubs. So Nerf footballs, frisbees, soccer balls, all kinds of stuff, and see who can, you know, use the different, you know, pieces of sporting equipment to get the ball in the hole the quickest. And so we had this crazy idea, and I guess the National went with it. And
which is crazy in
itself. Yeah, for sure. We never thought it would.
There's never been anything like that done at Augusta.
No, they've never even really allowed YouTubers to come out and film anything. It's so protective. And so, you know, we had had some conversations with them about what could we do together to kind of help. You know, they wanted to kind of reach a younger demo, which we have, and it's a very valuable demographic that, you know, that we have. And so like, hey, what can we do to, like, you know, partner together in some way, whether that's you guys filming some content here or you know, we're kind of open to anything. And we were like, okay, if we're going to pitch an idea, let's start with like the craziest idea that they'll definitely say no to, because then we can say, okay, here's our new idea. And in relation to that, this one will feel much safer. And so that was kind of our thought process. Like, well, let's say, can we play all sports golf on Amon Corner? Like, there's no way they'll say yes to that. And so initially there was a little hesitation, and they're like, you know, like, what were some other ideas? And we kind of gave some other ideas, and then they came back and said, okay, we're going to do the all sports golf battle, and y'all can come here at this time and we'll do it. And it was with Bryson.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it's supposed to be with Justin Thomas. But we filmed it on a Monday. That Sunday was the Sunday of the Players Championship, which got rained out into a Monday delay, a Monday finish. So Justin couldn't do it anymore. Bryson was still rehabbing from an injury, but he was, you know, pretty much good to go. And he was up there already, you know, doing his practice round for the Masters. And so just timing made sense. But we went out there, and the whole time it felt like we were doing something illegal. I was like, is the SWAT team going to come out of the throats there? insane, like crazy. And come to find out, you know, so we filmed it. And part of the thing was like, how do we showcase a Dude Perfect style, you know, piece of content, and also share the history of the Masters and what makes the Augusta National so special and the reverence of it. And so that was a big piece of it too, was balancing those two things. This Dude Perfect, you know, concept that we came up with that is going to resonate with our audience, that younger demo that they want to get to. They're going to watch an all sports golf battle no matter what. And now they're exposed to what is the Masters? Why is this place so special? This is, who should you root for? Why should you watch this tournament? And so that somehow we literally yesterday someone brought it up, like, I can't believe we did that. Like, we still talk about, we can't believe that we did that and that, but that's credit to Augusta National for being willing to, you know, do something different. And you know,
well, it's a credit to you guys then too, and how trustworthy
I think this old
brand is.
Yes,
you know,
yes, that was a huge part of
that
it.
That might be, like, I don't know if there's a better endorsement from a trustworthiness that Augusta's saying we trust you guys with our
yes
course.
Correct. 100%.
I mean I don't really know a better endorsement than that. Okay, so because I want to get into a little bit of some more life stuff, but anything kind of future related to DP that you want to touch on?
No, we've got a lot of things, a lot of exciting things in the works. We're working on some experiential products that are coming out, or experiential things that are coming out. So potentially like a Dude Perfect Trick Shot Town, things like that. Yeah, it's there's a lot of things on the horizon that we're excited to go and tackle.
And now the YouTube channel is kind of a small piece.
It's
a big piece,
yeah,
but drives things.
For sure. It's still like the engine of our business and the heartbeat of our company, but that provides so many more extensions for things that we can do. That's not changing, and the guys are still, we're still doing a video every other Saturday at 9 a.m. As part of that, we're thinking a little bit bigger term of how do we leverage the Dude Perfect IP and the Dude Perfect brand and create product lines at retail and toys and sporting goods lines and do experiential activations in different locations and engage our international audience, which we have half of our audience on YouTube is international. And so maybe it's an animated show, a book series. So constantly kind of thinking through, what are those kind of bigger ideas and bigger projects that have more of a long-term value for Dude Perfect, where in 10 years from now, we always use like the Dave and Buster's analogy. You don't know who Dave and Buster are, but that's the place for family fun.
Yeah.
That's kind of our thinking for the next bit.
Yeah, that's cool. Okay. I kind of want to just touch on a couple things just to kind of as we finish off. For you, I consider you an excellent person, excellent at what you do. And I'd love to kind of hear, do you have any kind of disciplines that are in your life that you feel like really just kind of helps you wake up in the morning and be the person that you're trying to be?
Yeah, I think, having kids changes your perspective a lot. And that's really something that, I work really hard and I want to be the best I can be at what I do. And sometimes that's to a fault because I'm just so passionate about it and for the growth, especially of Dude Perfect and this brand. And, really prioritizing work-life balance and is very, very important because especially what I do, it's hard. It's easy to get into the routine of not turning off and coming home and not being present because emails lingering or something happened at the end of the day and then you look back and you're like, I'm not spending that valuable time with my kids and my wife. And it's really hard, especially in this fast paced culture that we have, to not turn off. And so that's something that, I've really had to work on and be very intentional at, because it's the most important thing. You don't want to, you don't want to waste these precious years with your kids and that relationship with your wife. It's the most important thing. And so, that's kind of, something that I think we all here at Dude Perfect take into, it's of something of great importance to us, is that work-life balance and, making sure that we have time to unplug and that when I get home, I'm taking a deep breath at the door and now I'm, husband and dad and I'll deal with anything else later. And so it's not an easy thing to do, but I've really, had to work on that and something that's very important to me.
Yeah. Do you have any specific mentors that growing up or college or career?
Yeah. My old boss at Callaway, Harry Arnett, has been a great mentor to me and helped guide me through, decision to join Dude Perfect and kind of a vision for me and my future. And he left Callaway just before I did to go start his own apparel company with Mark Wahlberg. It's called Municipal. And that was something that he was super passionate about. This kind of creating a lifestyle apparel brand something he always wanted to do. And he had a great job at Callaway, obviously, and was crushing it. He's a brilliant mind and was a mentor for me for a long time. And then he went out and did his own thing. And I think his advice and perspective has helped me a lot throughout the years.
Yeah, that's cool. Sounds like there could be a future partnership or two.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see.
Well, let's kind of wind this down a little bit by you just kind of sharing, if you could, an important learning, that you've had just And I'm going to go ahead and open it up to your whole journey, that it can be career related, it could be life related, but what's one of the most important things you've learned, you know, in your journey?
Yeah. You know, I think really what it comes down to for me is that initial decision I talk about, to go out on a limb and make yourself uncomfortable, starting back with when I reached out for the job at Callaway and how that all came about. I'd never thought about leaving Arkansas or doing anything, moving to California. Like, wasn't in my like purview. It's like growing up, you know, in a small town, you don't think big like that. And when that whole opportunity came about, it was very scary for me, because I'm like, oh, I'm moving to California. Like, we don't know anyone there. Like, what do I do? I've always been in the comfort of being close to home. Even when I went to college at Arkansas, I was, you know, my home was 15 minutes down the road. This is a huge change, and it'll be something totally new, and it's scary. And making that leap and understanding like what that opportunity did for me, just both in my career, but also for me and my wife and our family, and how that opportunity shaped us over the years, has really changed my mentality on like how I think about, you know, why not me? Like, why not? Why should I not do this? Or why should I not try this? Is it because I'm scared? Is it because it's, you know, kind of a scary thing to be uncomfortable? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's part of it. But if you believe in yourself and you do that and you make that leap, then, you know, you're going to succeed. You're going to do great things. And it's scary at first, but that being uncomfortable and making leaps like that are so important in kind of helping not only your growth, but just my whole mindset changed at that point. I'm like, gosh, now anything is a possibility for me. And so that was, I think, a key moment for me, because if that hadn't happened, probably be, you know, who knows what I'd be doing. I probably wouldn't have.
Probably still froyo.
Yeah, probably still slapping froyo, but I certainly wouldn't have been. I wasn't the type of personality to seek out these like new experiences and relocating. And like, that was not something that was like anywhere even remotely in sight for me. It's just kind of how the Callaway thing happened. And so,
well, I think, you know, it's obviously worked out for you.
Yeah.
And I think the assurance that people can have, maybe that are listening to this, is that there are risks sometimes that you take that don't work out.
Yeah.
Right. But usually the learning that comes from that risk that didn't work out might be the thing that kind of,
exactly.
I think that's still that lesson of a lack of fear to, you know, take those leaps of faith.
Yeah.
And I've had so many people on this podcast that would really credit, you know, taking those risks to their success. And sometimes those risks didn't turn out, but the learning is the thing that
helped them out.
Yeah. So, man, that's really great. Anything else that you want to kind of leave, you know?
I don't think so.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I've really appreciated listening.
Yeah.
And to have me in your place, I probably might shoot a couple.
You might as well shoot some basketball, play pickleball, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it's cool. But I really appreciate it. And thanks for all you do. Thanks for the example you are in the market.
Of course.
And welcome to the Arkansas.
Thanks, man. Thanks for having me. Appreciate it.